All right, take your Bible this morning and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18, and of course we're going to preach a little bit about David. David's an incredible character in the Bible. He's the greatest, one of the greatest types of Christ in the Bible. Jesus Christ is called the Son of David 14 times in the Bible. And David's a great character. I love to read and preach about the man David. God has more about David in the Bible than anybody else except for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Antichrist. The Bible tells about David. David's a pretty amazing guy, really. You can learn a lot from the man David. I preached a series of four messages on the kind of heart the Lord is looking for. It said about David, it said, "I sought for a man after my own heart." And David had the heart of a singer. He had a heart with a song. He had the heart of a shepherd, the heart of a soldier, so and so. He had the heart of a sinner, amen. He had a heart of sorrows, all the things. 1 Samuel 18 tells us this, and I'm going to start in verse 1. Read a few verses here, quite a few of them. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David." And David is, you know, he's been anointed king in 1 Samuel 16. And he fights Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And all then, David's kind of on top of the world right now. He's a young man. And it says, "And Saul, speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him his own soul," that's Saul's son. "And Saul took him," David, "that day, and would not let him go anymore home to his father's house." And Saul just loved David, and David had done killed the Goliath and freed Israel from the Philistines, and he brings him to his house, and man, David's just doing great right now. Verse 3, "Then Jonathan," David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, "and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle." And the Bible says this, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely." Whatever Saul said for David to do, he did it, see? "And he behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of the war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and then also in the sight of Saul's servants," David was. Verse 6, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing and to meet King Saul with tabrets and joy and with instruments of music. And the women answered with one another as they played and said, Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Uh-oh. That evil eye of jealousy. And Saul was very wroth. And the sayings displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they've only ascribed but thousands. Whatever, he can't even have more than the kingdom." About verse 9 says, "And Saul eyed David from that day and forward." Wasn't good either. Verse 10, "And it came to pass on the morrow that an evil spirit from the Lord," from God, by the way, notice, "came upon Saul as he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was displeased with Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000 and went out and came in before. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." I mean, Saul's trying to kill him now. I mean, David's on top of the world, man. And now Saul's trying to kill him. In verse 15, "Wherefore Saul that he and when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. And all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before him." David was faithful to Saul, and he behaved himself wisely. And the Bible said, verse 17, "And Saul said to David, Behold, my elder daughter Merib, and he is going to give her." I'm going to jump down to verse 22. "And David and Saul gives him his wife Michal. And Saul commanded his servants, saying, Commune with David secretly, and say, Behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore, be the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spake these words in the ears of David. And David said, Seemeth unto you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing I'm a poor man and lightly esteemed? And the servants of Saul told him, On this manner spake David. And Saul said, Thus shall you say to David, The king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines." I mean, things weren't going real good for David right now, were they? And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistine 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal his daughter to wife. And Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David, and David became, and Saul became David's enemy continually. The princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Verse 9, chapter 19, verse 1. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. And all through that, here's David. I mean, David was 1 Samuel 16 anointed to be king by over there by Samuel. David goes out and he kills the Goliath, the giant, and frees him. David's doing everything right. He's serving. And then Saul's trying to kill him. And he becomes his enemy. And the Bible says over and over and over that David behaved himself wisely. That's a good statement. That's something we all ought to take to heart. Amen. Four times in 1 Samuel 18 it said David behaved himself wisely. The word behave, it means to behave. That's what it literally means. It means to be in control of it. Don't let things get out of control. To restrain, to govern, or to behave, to behave yourself. In the Bible 30 times it tells you and I one way or another to behave ourselves. 1 Timothy 3:15, one of my favorite verses in the Bible said, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." When you come to this church and this sanctuary, you ought to behave yourself. You ought to come in dressed right, acting right, doing right, brother. This is the house of God right here, brother. Psalms 101 verse 2 says, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way." And the Bible says about David that David behaved himself wisely. And I want to preach about that a few minutes. I'm going to ask Brother Chris, would you take us to the Lord in prayer before the sermon?
Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning, God. Thank you, God, for being here this morning. Thank you, God, for the things we feel already in our hearts.
Amen, amen, amen.
Through the thing that's been done so far, God, we pray, God, we go into the preaching hour today, God. And we pray, God, just touch, God, man, God, to stand for us today, Father. God, just give them the words, God, that we need to hear this morning. God, I pray, God, that it go out, God. We know your word won't return void, God. But we pray, God, it find a lodging place in our hearts today, God. That, God, as you speak to us, God, we not just be hearers, but be doers.
Amen, amen.
Hey, God, how you came to speak to us this
yes,
morning.
Yes, Lord, amen.
God, if we didn't come to hear from you this morning, we came in vain, God.
Amen.
Pray, God, our ears and our hearts be open. God, that not only the word, but God, your spirit, God, as you speak to us, God, individually, God. And God, we know that we've been saved, born again. God, you come to speak to
yes,
us.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Your children this morning. We just thank you, Lord. God, that you came to speak to us. God, thank you that you love us this morning, God. Thank you, God, for sending your Son down on the cross to pay our sin debt, God. We might have eternal
yes,
eternal
life, Lord.
God.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And the Bible says all through there that David behaved himself wisely. Amen. I mean, that ought to be you and I too. I want to give you just a few things about it real quick. I want to say, number one, there was the circumstance that David was in. I mean, David didn't do anything wrong, did he? I mean, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16 that I mentioned that Samuel over there anointed David king, and God sought for a man after his own heart, and David was God's man. The Bible said it when Samuel anointed him, the Bible said he was filled with the Spirit from that point on. And the Bible tells us all throughout the Bible how that God, David had the sure mercies of God. God had his hand on David. David was God's special man, and David had served Saul. He killed Goliath, and the circumstances were David was doing everything right. And Saul was trying to kill him. You know, so Bob Jones Sr. used to say, you can't do right and get away with it. Because if you do right, somebody's after you sometimes. And there's the circumstances David's in. And David served Saul faithfully, the Bible said. He went whithersoever Saul told him to go. And then the ladies came in and started singing the song that David had slain his 10,000, Saul his 1,000. And Saul got jealous. And the Bible said, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. There's the circumstance he's in. I mean, the guy was faithful to God. God anointed him. God, he was God's man. And the circumstances there, Saul is trying to kill him, threw a javelin at him, had people trying to kill him all over the place. And listen, David still behaved himself wisely. Because here's the thing, friend. Circumstances will come in your life and things will happen. I want to tell you that you could just lay down and get mad about it. David did not deserve the treatment he was getting from Saul. He didn't deserve that. He didn't deserve that, Miss Tara. I mean, he had served Saul. He is faithful to the Lord. God anointed him. I mean, Saul could have stood up. David could have stood up and said, "Hey, Lord, give me a break. God, I've done everything right. God, I'm tired and I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing everything and look what's happened." David didn't. Despite everything, the Bible said that David behaved himself wisely before the Lord. There's the circumstances David was in. I'm going to tell you sometimes, friend, life is just not fair. In fact, I want to tell you, most of the time, life is not fair. There's always a complaint. There's always circumstances that you and I get mad about. I mean, if you just think about it right here this morning, truth of the matter, we just think about it right now, you know what? We could just get mad about something, couldn't we? I mean, we could. I could get mad right now. She don't respect me. Sarah Lee don't smile at me. She didn't say good morning. I'm mad right now. I mean, circumstances around you, they just think that everybody here could get mad about something. And I mean, David's there doing all the right things, and Saul's trying to kill him, and there's the circumstances around him. My kids used to say all the time, they'd say, "Dad, that's not fair. Dad, that's not fair." I'd say, "You might as well take that word out of your vocabulary and throw it away. Because there's no such thing as fair." I mean, if the grass is greener on the other side, the water bill's higher, amen? I mean, nobody treats you fair. I mean, this world, you got to live with the circumstances and you got to deal with the hand you've given. Brother, there's no such thing as fair. There's the circumstances David was in. I mean, David could have stood up and listened. "God, this is not fair. You've anointed me king. I killed the Goliath and I've been faithful to Saul. And now he's trying to kill me. It's not fair." But the Bible said in all this, David behaved himself wisely. Look at 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18. Verse number 5. "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely." You know what the new Bibles, God help you if you fool with one of them new Bibles. God help you. Please stay away from that stuff. The ESV says this. This is how messed up they are. It says this, "And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him." David wasn't successful. God, Saul was trying to kill him. David behaved himself wisely. It's totally different, brother. Every time it says it, Psalm 18:14 says this, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." The ESV says, "And David had success in all his undertakings." Brother, it's not a success when the king is throwing javelin at you, is it? It's not a success when they're trying to kill you. But despite that, those virgins missed the whole point, that despite that David wasn't a success, he behaved himself wisely. There's the circumstances that David was in, brother. Because I'm going to tell you, things are going to go in your life. Brother, the circumstances are not going to look good. And Saul was hunting David down like a dog. In fact, that's what David said a little bit later. 1 Samuel 24, he said, who's the king of Israel come out? He said, after a dead dog, I'm just a dog. He sunned me down like a dog. All throughout Samuel. Saul is going around trying to kill David. But the Bible said, and David behaved himself wisely over and over. And the Lord was with him. It'd have been easy for David to get mad and throw a pity party, wouldn't it? It'd have been easy. It'd have been easy for David to get bitter. It'd have been easy for David to just say, Lord, I've had it. I'm not going to serve you no more. I don't want nothing to do with you. But despite all that, the Bible said David behaved himself wisely. Because I'm going to tell you, friend, circumstances will happen in your life and you cannot let the circumstances control you. The good and the bad and the ugly ones. All of them. Because if you're not careful, they'll control you. My little girl over here, bless her heart, love her to death. My little angel. How old? 34 years old, right? When she was 14, she's already got autism. When she was 14 years old, she got diagnosed with diabetes, type 1, where it shuts down. And I remember, we saw things happening there. We took her to the doctor, and they said she had diabetes. We had to put her in the hospital for a couple of days, and we had to get her sugar down and show us what to do. And I never get it. My wife went and picked up my other two guys, my daughter Rachel and Stephen, they were at school. And she went and picked them up, had to get them out of school because we had to go to the hospital and put her in the hospital and all that stuff. And I'll never forget it. My wife drove up, had that big old red van we had at the time, and my daughter Rachel got out, boy, and she got out, Miss Karen, and she got out, she thumbs in, she throws her books down. She is crying, she said, I'm mad at God. I said, what's wrong? She said, I'm mad at God. I said, well, kiddo, what you mad at God? She said, I'm mad because he gave Sarah sugar diabetes. I'm mad. She don't deserve it. He get mad. When I told my daughter, I said, kiddo, we don't get mad at God. God, I said, God loves us. He loves Sarah more than he loves me and you love her. And God knows what's best. And God put this on her and put it on us because he knows it's something we have to deal with. And we're not going to get mad at him. My son, he was crying. He said, Dad, Sarah don't deserve this. She's already got to deal with autism. He said, it should have been me. Why didn't that happen to me? Dad, it should have been me. I said, son, we don't deal that way. We don't look at the circumstances. God loves us. God knows what's best. And we're going to love Him and trust Him. And Romans, I told him, I said, you've heard me preach Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God. I say, we're going to take it like it is. Because I'm going to tell you, circumstances will control you. That little girl has a hard time. Last night, her sugar was 527. It's been 400 and 500 this week. That's dangerous. I didn't sleep a whole lot. She didn't either. See, I'm worried about it. You say, what do? You get mad at God? No, you praise God and keep so glorified and you don't let the circumstances control you. Because if they do, brother, you're out of the race like that. Because there's going to be something every day, that'll take you down. Miss Martha, bless her heart, I love this lady to death. She's probably the most faithful person in this whole church right here. She's been coming here for 62 years. She's been coming forever. She got a boy that's blind, Barry. Y'all know that? Diabetic. Last week, her air conditioner on and off. I said, Miss Martha, we'll get over and see. She said, I mean, it's 100 degrees. She said, oh, don't worry about it. Not a big deal. Then some of you, you'd be on the phone, going through that thing calling everybody in the world. You know what she is? She don't let the circumstances control her. Brother, she don't miss this church. When she's not here, Miss Liz, I'm scared to death the rapture just happened. And I got left behind. She's that faithful. I remember Brother Larry used to say sometimes he'd get up here Sunday morning, he'd say, boy, me and Miss Martha had a good time Thursday night. It was just me and her. A lot of times, it's Brother Cooper and Miss Martha in here. She's been coming everywhere. You know what? She don't let the circumstances keep her out of church. She don't let the circumstances control her like David and all these things. He behaved himself wisely. Because I'm going to tell you, friend, there's going to be something in your life every day that'll get you mad. I mean, Brother Zito, he's mad as a hornet right now. I can tell you, he's mad. He got kicked out of his job. Didn't he? He's not mad. He don't care. He didn't like it. He's not mad. But he could be. I got kicked out of mine. I don't have health insurance. My wife was on the phone yesterday trying to get some deals on pills, you know. We don't have that. Can't go to the doctor, nothing like most people do anymore. They just kicked me out. Been there 20. I could have been so mad. What am I going to do? I just trust in the Lord, lead not to thine own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy steps. I got another guy I work with, Don. And Don, same thing happened to him. And they kicked Don out. When they kicked me out, 2 days before me. And I called Don the other day and he's still mad. I'm telling Matt. He said about the guy we worked for, I don't want to mention his name in case Dennis listens to it on this tape kind of thing. But he said about this guy I won't mention. He said hell is too good a place for him. What'd he say? I said, man, he didn't do nothing, Don, but do what they said to do. The company got bailed out, man. Oh, everybody did what they did. Not only that, Don's got it made. When he filed for his Social Security, he's filing early. He had a bad leg and they gave him disability right off the bat. When I talked to him 2 weeks ago, it was on a Tuesday. That Sunday, he just come back from Italy, spent a week over there. In September, he's taking the cruise. He said, man, I'm enjoying this. I said, why in the world are you mad about it then? Hey, if anybody ought to be mad, it ought to be me. I'm not mad. I didn't get the insurance. His wife works. His wife makes a lot of money. He got insurance. He got it made in the shade. So what is it? People just get mad about the circumstance. David, all he's going through. And the Bible said, he behaved himself wisely over and over. Here he is, Brother Chris. He's over playing his harp for Saul. Being a good guy. Minding his business. Saul reaches up a jab and said, Brother Chris, I'm about to get old Chris. I'm going to let old David have it. Well, you know what the Bible says? And David behaved him wisely more than all the servants of Saul. I don't know if somebody's throwing a javelin at me. I might have got a little upset. But David didn't. You know, God, there's people like that around the world. They're not many. But there's people like that, like Miss Martha. And I'm always looking for that rare bird, Miss Liz. I'm looking for that one despite the circumstances. They behave themselves wisely. Because they helped me. They changed my life. They inspired me. They helped me to do better. Years ago, I had a torn meniscus in my leg. Some of y'all remember that. I was on crutches here for a while. That was a bad deal. Had to go to therapy. And boy, those therapists like Miss Samantha, they're sadistic, man. I told them, I said, y'all like hurting people, don't you? They said, we got to do this. I said, well, somebody, I guess, has got to do it. And I used to go to Draper Therapy, started over there, started Trustful, and went to Montclair one. And I was in there one day, and there's this black lady in there in her 80s, Brother Zito. She had two hip replacements at the same time. Two of them. And she had her walker coming in. She sat down, Miss Karen, boy, she had the most beautiful smile on her face. And I gave her a gospel tract, talked to the Lord, and boy, she was saved, so excited about the Lord, and God's been so good to her. Oh, God's been so good. And boy, I was back there doing my little therapy, and they brought her back there, and she had that old walker, Brother Chris. She hardly walked. She was crying the whole time. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. She is in such pain. When I saw her come in that place, you know what she brought in with her? She brought in a coconut cake she'd made for those people there that worked there. And she gave it to them people and she said, Oh, these people, they've been so good to me. She said, they've been so good to me. And they just love me and take care. Hey, man, they're killing you. Hey, see, over there crying, they're pushing her. You know what that lady did despite the circumstances? She behaved herself wisely. And those girls that worked there, they told me, they said, boy, this lady's special. They said, every time she comes here, she brings us a pie or cookies or a cake. They said, she's something else. I said, Lord, give me a little bit of that. Give me a lot of that, Lord. Give me some of that despite the circumstances. She behaved herself wisely like David did. There's the circumstances David had. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I'll tell you something else about old David. Despite the circumstances, David behaved himself wisely. Because I don't care who you are, you're going to have circumstances. Somebody will pull in front of you while you're driving someplace. You see it all the time on the news. Somebody, this kid the other day, looked like he never drunk buttermilk. He's going to spend the rest of his life in prison now. Had road rage. You see that, shot and kill those people. See what happened? Circumstances just took a control of him. That happens to God's people. They get mad, get bitter, get tempered, get quit, just get their circumstances take over. Just throw a fit. Just quit. You say why? Just all circumstances. David didn't let him control him. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Because I'm going to tell you, circumstances are going to happen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore he saith, awake that sleepeth, arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. Watch it. See then with the light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's what David did. He behaved himself wisely. David walked circumspectly. You say, what does that mean? That word circum, it means circle. It means round. And that word spec, and where the word spectacle, spectator, inspect, it means you're to look around and watch everything and make sure what you see around you. David didn't leave anything to chance. He walked circumspectly, because there's going to be things all around you, Brian, that'll take you down. 1 Samuel 18:14, it said, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Because I'm going to tell you, you never know who is in the shadows watching you. You never know. I mean, we go in public, we go in Walmart, wherever we go, like most some of you. We give out gospel tracts, talk to people about the Lord. I mean, you got to watch it. I mean, you go out of Walmart or public and somebody does something or bumps into you. Hey, man, you kind of walk circumspectly. You don't know who's watching you. That person just gave a tract to. And you lose your cool. It's easy to do. You walk circumspectly. The Bible said David behaved himself in all his ways. Romans 14:7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, nor dieth to himself. People watch you. People look at you. It said about Saul, remember over there in 1 Samuel, turn to 1 Samuel 18. You know it said in Matthew 5, it said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brother, people are going to watch you, especially if you witness. Especially if you try to witness for Jesus Christ, they'll watch you. Look at 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, verse 9. Look what it said. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Saul was just looking for something, some way to kill David. He sent him out there to the Philistines trying to get him killed. And look at verse 15 to 18. Saul was watching him. Saul was eyeing him, had his spectacles on him. And verse 18, chapter 18, verse 15 says, wherefore when Saul, look at it, he's watching him. When Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, He was afraid of him, see. David walked circumspectly because you never know what's going on. One little word coming out wrong. One little old temper tantrum, getting mad, throwing a fit, it can destroy your testimony. That fast. That quick. David behaved himself wise in all his ways. It don't take much. I mean, you work on your testimony, work on your testimony, work on your testimony. And just one little anger, just one little bitterness, one little temper, one little thing will totally destroy it, my friend. That's why you walk circumspectly. You look around and make sure you're doing the right thing. I got a friend of mine, Mike Jodeman. And old Mike, one of the best witnesses I've ever seen. He pastors a church up in Oklahoma. I've been pastoring for 30 years since we got out of Bible school. One of the goofiest guys I ever met in my life. His father's a pastor. His brother's a pastor. He's a pastor. And that guy's the goofiest guy you ever seen in your life. But God uses goofy people. Amen. He used me and you. We're pretty goofy, aren't we? Peculiar people, the Bible said. And Mike, a great witness. Mike, he is bold. He'd witness anything, anybody, any place. He's a cowboy. Already had a cowboy hat and cowboy clothes and cowboy. He's a real cowboy. Truck driver. Loved driving trucks. He's one. One time we're standing out there and he said he never had a ticket. And he said, I'll never get one. And we, some of the guys we at Bible school, I'm still remember, we'd stand outside the church. And one of them said, Lord willing, you won't. He said, I'm a safe driver. I'm not going to get one. And the guy said, Lord willing, you won't. He said, I'm not going to get one. That week he had 6 tickets. I'm telling you the truth. 6 tickets! Didn't say Lord willing. Say Miss Annie May says that all the time. 6 tickets in 1 week and they took his license. And he couldn't drive a truck. And he got mad that day, Brother Chris. He didn't think any of the guys were out there. He drove from there to his lumber. And he got that ticket and they fired him. And he took his license, lost his license. He was out there and he loved the Lord, he was saved. And he was out there behind one of the trucks, didn't see anybody. And he cursed and said a curse word and kicked up, got mad. And them guys come back and said, I thought you was a Christian. You've been telling us all that time. I roomed with him in a trailer. He came home to me that day. He was crying and bawling. And blah, blah. He said, I've done it. I've destroyed my testimony. He said, that one little incident, I didn't know they were there. He said, I destroyed my testimony. And he did. He did. You see, David walked circumspectly. He behaved himself in all his ways. Because I'm going to tell you, there's somebody watching. Ecclesiastes said, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. One sin, one sinner, one little temper tantrum, one lie, one just throwing a fit, just something. We'll do it that quick. You know, David, he could have got the big head. He could have got proud. I mean, he killed Goliath, them ladies running around all over the place. Talking about how great he was, all the people loved him. But all that, David walked circumspectly. He didn't let that get the best of him, see. He knew what he was about. And all that time, there's old Saul stalking, doing everything he can. He's trying to get his own son, Jonathan, to kill him. Trying to get his men to kill him. Trying to get his daughter to marry him and kill him. And Saul's trying to kill a guy, David, still, behaving himself wisely in all these things. Because I'm going to tell you something, brother. There's people that are stalking you today. There's people that would love to see Brother Chris fall today and go back in the world. And love people that love to see Brother Zito down in his chair. There's people that love to see you fall. They would turn a flip, man. And the world stalks you and people stalk you and they just look for something and they watch you and they watch you. Like Saul had his eye on David. I'm going to tell you, the world's got its eye on you. They'll watch you. Especially if you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll watch you. And David, he walked circumspectly. He behaved himself in all these things. Anybody know what December the 7th 1941 was?
day of infamy, Pearl Harbor. I mean, it's one of the worst days in the history of America. Probably the only thing that matched was 9/11, as far as on this continent. And it was December the 7th, 1941. 353 Japanese airplanes swarmed on Pearl Harbor. Within 2 hours, America lost 8 big battleships, 6 major airfields, almost all of the planes, and 2,400 men were killed in a couple of hours. Most people think it was a surprise attack. We didn't see it, but they're wrong. That morning at 7 o'clock, while the Japanese airplanes were 137 miles away, two U.S. soldiers on a small radar station in the Pacific scanned the screen and saw the dots and dots appearing until the whole screen was filled with airplanes. And they notified their young supervisor, lieutenant, and no other officer was around being on Sunday, and the lieutenant just said, "Hey, these dots must be planes flying from California," and didn't circumspectly inspect into it. And you know what happened? They had plenty of time to warn them, Brother Zito. Listen, let me tell you, there are little dots around you on your radar right now in your life, and they are there, and they will destroy your life and your testimony if you don't walk circumspectly. I used to go down and preach a Jimmy Hale mission. I had one preacher come to me, preacher at Carbon Hill one time. He's a pastor down there at Jimmy Hale Mission. Lost his church. Lost his wife. Lost his children. Living at Jimmy Hale Mission, Brother Chris, he had it made. I said, "Man, what in the world happened to you?" Pornography. Pornography. I had another man, an older man, a black man, had a $500 suit. Nice looking gentleman down there. He came to me after an altar call and said, "Preacher, I used to pastor one of the largest black churches here in Birmingham." He said, "I know most of these guys in here." He said, "I never dreamed in a million years I'd be down here in Jimmy Hale Mission." I said, "Man, what happened?" Pornography. Pornography. Look at a little bit of pornography. That Bible said, "Be sure your sin will find you out. You better walk circumspectly." There's dots all over the place. Brother Earl was here a few months ago. We got a good friend of ours, a pastor's in Tennessee. Brother, Miss Janet knows him. His name's Jay. Jay, he's a great guy. Loves the Lord. Got an incredible church up there. Brother Earl said it's one of the best churches he goes to. They street preach. There's videos of Brother Earl street preaching with up there. Brother Earl goes up there 2 or 3 times a year with them, with Brother Jay. He said, "Brother Jay, man, he's a jewel, man." He said, "That guy's solid." He said, "That's one of the best churches I go into." When he's here last time, I asked him, I said, "Brother Earl, how's our buddy Jay doing?" He goes, I said, "What's going on, Brother Earl?" He goes, he said, "You're not in the ministry anymore, brother." I said, "Come on." I said, "Are we talking about the same guy, brother? I mean, this guy is as straight and as strong as anybody I've ever known in my life. This fella." Brother Earl said, "He's not, brother. He's out of the ministry. He's selling cars, brother." I said, "What happened?" "Another woman." Another woman. Proverbs chapter 7. "Many strong have fallen by her." Hey, let me tell you, you better walk circumspectly. That guy was as strong and faithful as anybody I've ever met in my whole life. And wham! He went down. Just like that. You know what David did? Despite the circumstances, he behaved himself wisely. Despite the circumspectly, he walked circumspectly. He behaved himself in all these things. David could have got the big head. David could have got mad. David could have run off. But all these things, Brother Zito, he behaved himself wisely. I'm just going to give you one more about David. I could give you several more. I'm going to give you one more. And one thing David didn't do. David didn't circumvent the situation. There was a circumstance. There he walked circumspectly, and David didn't circumvent. Circumvent means to avoid being stopped. It means to get around something in a deceitful and a dishonest way. David could have circumvented the situation. He could have took matters into his own hand and fixed it. But he didn't do it. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right, though the stars fall from heaven, do right. Don't circumvent the situation. You might have a right to do it, but that don't mean it's right. There's a difference. And David had a right to kill Saul. He had a right to circumvent and fix the situation. But David did not do it. He left it up to God. Look at 1 Samuel 24. Over there in 1 Samuel chapter 24. There was a circumstances with David. And there was, he walked circumspectly. He didn't let it get a hold of him. In 1 Samuel chapter 24, this happened several times in your Bible. It's in 1 Samuel 26. Look at 1 Samuel 24. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness in Gedi. And Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel, went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the Geroth, wild goats. And it came to the sheep coast. By the way, there was a cave, and David and him was already in the cave, see. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained the sides of the cave. And the man of David said to him, behold, the day of which the Lord hath given thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy thy hand. If thou mayest do to him as it seemeth good unto thee. And David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he shut off the... David could have killed him! Verse 6, and he said to the man, the Lord forbid that I should do anything to my master. The Lord's anointed to stretch forth my hand against him. Sin, he is anointed of the Lord. I mean, Saul was trying to kill him. David had a right, Miss Terry. He had a right to kill him in self-defense. But just because you have the right, that don't make it right. David didn't circumvent the Lord. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 26. Flip over a couple more. 1 Samuel 26. And the same thing happens again. Several times it happens where David could kill Saul. He's right there in his hands. 1 Samuel 26, verse 7. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, his spear stuck in the ground in his holster. But Abner and the people lay around about him, and then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear. Even a... I mean, David didn't have to do it. Abishai said, hey, I'll do it. In verse 9, and David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed? In verse 10, David said this, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend in battle and perish, and the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord. And David said, hey, I'm going to let God handle it, see. David could have circumvented the situation. And listen, David had a right to do it. There's times you got the right to do it. That don't make it right. David was being followed by Saul. 99,000 out of whatever people would have killed Saul right there. I'd have said, go for it, boy. Get him, get him, get him. Not David. You say, why? All these things. David behaved himself wisely. He didn't circumvent the situation. Years ago, I was down at East Lake Park, and we used to go down there and take my kids on Saturday and Sunday sometime. We'd pass out tracts. And this was like 30 years ago. How old was Stephen? 31? 30. So I was about 27. He was a little guy. I remember him. He was a little 2 or 3 years old. And I'd take my kids down there. We'd pass out tracts. And it was packed back in those days. Back before it was a crime scene, you know, every week. And now, and I mean, there'd be hundreds of people there. We'd lead them to the Lord, give them gospel tracts. And we did. It was a blast. My kids loved it. My little Rachel, she would track them down. She'd run. Boy, her little feet running down there with that little track. And they loved it. We was out there one day, and I was witnessing this Hispanic guy, Brother Chris, and he is about 6 inches at least shorter than me. I was 30-something years old then too, Brother Zito. And he is about 6 inches shorter than me. And I gave him a track, started witnessing to him, and he started cursing. He said, I don't believe that blankety, 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 blankety. Buy me just really nasty stuff. And a little Hispanic dude there, you know. And I said, buddy, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't use that kind of language. My kids are right here, and I don't like for them to hear that kind of stuff. I said, I'd appreciate that. And I was nice to him. And I said, Jesus Christ loves you. I'm here trying to get you saved, tell you about the Lord. You know what he did? Spit in my face. spit right in my face. He said, what'd you do? Oh, I could have took that guy down. I could have broke his nose. I was 33 by 35, Brother Zito. I was lean and mean. I worked out. I had three brothers. I knew how to fight. I took karate for 2 years. I could have took that guy down with a floor sweep, Miss Tara, put him on the ground. He said, what'd you do? I reached up there and wiped the smit off my face. And I said, buddy, you know Jesus Christ loves you. So what'd you do? I didn't circumvent. I could have hit him. I could have got mad. I could have went back in the car, Brother Chris, say, Lord, why did this happen to me? My little guy's watching me there. That'd have been wonderful if Dad got mad or tried to get in a fight. And what a testimony that'd have been for their dad, wouldn't it? So what'd you do? I just wiped the spit off my face. Kept witnessing to him. You know what I did? I just kept going that day. And you know, later that same day, Brother Zito, when I was down there, I led five people to Jesus Christ. I got it in my notes up here from that day. I took notes that day. Five people. See, I could have circumvented a situation and got mad and showed how tough like any little thug could. But I just said, hey, they spit on the Lord. I can't take a little spit. I need to go home. Amen. That's not the only time I've been spit on either, by the way. See, what do you do? I just wipe it off and keep going, brother. Hey, if you can't take that, you won't go very far serving Him, brother. They spit on Him. I could have circumvented five people. That day got saved. Brother Earl preached a great message here a while back on the right spirit. That was good. He talked about it in that message. He was preaching on the street, and some guy come by and yelled something at him. He yelled back something, not dirty, but just... And he said a little bit later, he's preaching, his son's preaching, and somebody yelled at him, and his son did the same thing. Remember that? God spoke him. I never yelled back. You say, well, I'm interested trying to get them saved. I'm not out there trying to fight. I'm trying to do something more. Hey, listen, David didn't circumvent the situation. He could have just reached over and... killed him. But in all these things, he behaved himself wisely. Verse 1 Samuel 18:14 says this, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. I get Christians all the time. All the time. I had some this week. Why is this happening to me? Why is this going through this? Hey! Are you reading your Bible every day? No. Are you tithing? No. Are you praying? No. What do you want God to do? Jump out of a cracker box? Hey, listen, you don't give Him a shot. Let God have a shot in your life. If you don't read your Bible, you're wasting your time. That's how He speaks to you. Hey, listen. Say, well, I can go out and garden. He's not going to jump out of the tomato. He's going to jump out of that book. You, what you do, you circumvent God in your life and you throw Him away. And you say, why is this happening to me? I'll tell you why. You circumvented God right out of your life. He can't do nothing. You won't give Him a shot. Proverbs 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God. He may exalt you in due time. That's where it starts, and casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. But you know what God's people do? They circumvent God out of their life. They'll throw Him out. Don't read the Bible. Don't have anything to do with Him. And they expect God to do something. I'm going to tell you, friend, when you just circumvent Him out of His life, God can't work. If you don't read your Bible, spend time with God, you're going to be like them children of Israel running around the wilderness I talked about, like a dog chasing his tail, and you'll never catch it. You know what David did? David, despite the circumstances, he behaved himself wisely. You know what David did? He walked circumspectly. He looked around, realized what was going on. He didn't have his head in the sand. Didn't have his head in the clouds. David knew what was going on. And David didn't circumvent the situation. He let God handle that thing. He said, if the Lord will smite him, or he'll die naturally. But he said, I'm not going to do it. Because you know how God's people get in trouble a lot of times? They circumvent the situation. C.I. Schofield, one of the great Christians of yesteryear, went home to be with the Lord in 1921. He's the one that did the Schofield Bible, which him and Larkin really opened up the Bible, the Word of God, premillennialism to the world. Put out that Bible in 1909. C.I. Schofield was a famous attorney. And he was a reprobate and a wicked drunk man. He was actually elected to the House of Representatives several times in Kansas. At 29 years of age, he was the youngest U.S. District Attorney ever appointed at 29. Schofield was. He was brilliant, but he was an old drunk. When he was a young man, right after that, he abandoned his wife and his two daughters, left them, which was unusual in those days. He was a hopeless drunk. Schofield, one time working with another lawyer, and this lawyer got through, they was working on this deal, and the attorney got through, and the attorney looked up at him, he said, I've been meaning to ask you something, but he said, I've been scared, I'll be honest with you. And Schofield says, what you want to ask me? He said, I want to ask you, why aren't you a Christian? Why aren't you saved? Schofield said, the Bible said no drunkards shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, I'm nothing but an old drunkard. And the guy said, why don't you give God a shot in your life to change that? C.I. Schofield got saved. Got saved in the man's office. And boy, he was excited about to have that new creature in Christ Jesus. Everything going great, Brian. And he was so excited about it. And the next day he got up, Brother Chris. And the next day he got up. And that old demon alcohol that had a hold of him, Brother Zito, had just had that taste in his mouth. And he could just taste it. It was pulling on him. And old C.I. Schofield, ready to give up. He just circumstance. He couldn't handle it. Couldn't walk circumspect. He was going to circumvent the Lord. And he's walking along, going to the liquor store, Brother Chris. Get him a bottle of whiskey. Brother Brian, he looked in a window. There was a painting there of Daniel in the lion's den. C.I. Schofield sat in that painting. Old Daniel's in the lion's den. And he's on his knees. And he's looking up. And he's praying to God. And in that picture, those lions are all around him, Brother Zito. And they're just sitting there. And old C.I. Schofield said, if God can control and shut the mouth of those lions, when Daniel's in the middle of that lion's den, he said he can shut the mouth of alcohol in my mouth. And he never took another drink after that. You know what he did? He looked at the circumstances, see. He knew he wasn't a drunkard. He knew that thing was real. He looked at it circumspectly. He looked all around and saw what was going on. He could have walked to that liquor store. And he could have circumvented the situation and went in that store, and you'd have never, that liquor store, you'd probably never heard of C.I. Schofield. But he didn't. He didn't circumvent. Just like Daniel, he behaved himself wisely. So I'm going to tell you, folks, may not be liquor, may not be pornography, may be a bad temper, maybe just unfaithfulness, maybe laziness. I don't know what it is. Circumstances in your life. I'm going to tell you, everybody in here, everybody, if you're not careful, it'll control you. If you're not careful, it'll knock you out just that quick. Father, we pray your blessing now upon the message, Lord. Pray, Father, Lord God, that you'll do what I cannot do, Lord. All I can do is get up here and preach, Lord, and give this message, Lord, and do what I can do. But God, I pray, Lord, you do something with it this morning. I pray, Lord, as we give an invitation this morning, God. I'm just praying, God, while every head's bowed, ask my wife to come up here and play. Lord, I just pray, God, touch some hearts. Touch some hearts, Lord. Do what I cannot do. Lord, help us to watch those circumstances. We'll all deal with them, Lord. We all got them. Like I've taught in Sunday school, Lord, we're going to come out better. You said you'll try us in that fire. We'll come out like gold. We're going to come out better or bitter. We'll come out mad or glad. Those circumstances are there, Lord. Help us, Lord, to walk circumspectly. Not with our head in the sand, playing like, Lord, everything's okay, and ignoring the situations, God. Help us not to walk in the clouds, God. Help us to realize, Lord, how serious these things are in our lives. And God, especially, help us this morning, Lord, not to circumvent the situation. Help us, God, to be faithful to you, Lord. Realize, God, there hath no temptation taken you but such common a man, but God who is faithful We'll find a way to escape, Lord. Father, help us. We're needy. We're dumb, Lord. You said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're all weak. We're all weak. We all make mistakes. We all do dumb things. But, oh, David, God, all this through his life right there, God, he behaved himself wisely. And, Lord, we know what happened later with David. We know about Bathsheba. We read that, God. We know he fell, Lord. He fell hard. Cost him 4 of his children, Lord. Sword never left his house, God. He wanted to die. He asked you to kill him, Lord. It hurt him so bad. But up to this point, God, he did good. But that one time, Bathsheba, Lord, that one look that day, boy, that took him down. Help us, Lord. Help us. Lord, help us.